Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, StudentUnionSports.com proudly presents to you Lecture Hall!
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Welcome to another episode of Lecture Hall, brought to you by Student Union Sports. It's your boy, it's Big Hoppa, it's Shooter, it's Harry Siddlings at Twitch 35 on Twitter, underscore 35, my apologies. Shooter! Chew me up with that syllabus!
Hoppa, it is great to have you back this week off of work duty tonight.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm back.
That being said, classes in session. What is up, guys? This week's syllabus, we have Stanley Cup playoffs looking like they're about to end tonight. And unfortunately for me, unfortunately for Hoppa, it looks like
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Our buddy Bucky's Tampa Bay Lightning are going to win their first Stanley Cup since 2004. They're up 2-0 on the Dallas Stars right now.
Hey, there's a whole third period to play.
I mean, I don't think I'm intentionally trying to jinx the Lightning right now, but I mean, if it happens, it happens. We also have the NBA Finals matchup finally set. The Miami Heat of all teams, the 5 seed. Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and Jimmy Butler, the new big three, leading Miami past Boston to the NBA Finals to earn the right to get swept by LeBron. Hoppa, thoughts on this NBA Finals matchup?
I fucking hate Tyler Hero.
Just so
it's not on the record, and I really don't care. First of all, he'll probably never hear this. Second of all, I don't care if he ever hears this, but he needs to stop acting like he's from the bad part of Milwaukee. Daddy has a lot of money. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, and that was Hoppa's take on the NBA Finals.
Absolutely. That is Somebody all, had to say it.
That's all for today's syllabus. Hoppa, hit me with that ad read.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy. It's Hoppa. I'm back. Look. While I was away last week, there was one thing I had to do, and that was regroup. So what I did, I got in the shower. I lathered up with that Washbuckler soap bar. All right, I got nice, fresh, and clean. Got back to my zen. All right, beard, hair, and body wash. 3-in-1 action. Hit it with the little biofuel conditioner. Hair's feeling fresh. The beard is looking fat, P-H-A-T fat. We got the Bushmaster. Beard oil is going in there. The Voodoo Prince. I got the sampler pack. I'm throwing everything in there. Depends on how I'm feeling every day. We're just having ourselves a day, folks. All right. We're having ourselves a day. Got back at it. Had a great rest of our week. Had a great weekend for the NFL and all the other sports going on. And hopefully the Tampa Bay Lightning win because I use Gibbs. GibbsGrooming.com. GIBSGROOMING. GibbsGrooming.com. That's where you can go. You can use the code HALL15, 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 to get 15% off your order. Hey, if you're looking to, you know, maybe you're in a slump. Maybe you're the guy at the office who's 0 for his last 20. All right. You're looking for that one big hit to get you out of that slump. All right. You use it, you know, get in the shower, bring everything to Zen using Gibbs. And let's get back out there, boys. All right. Hall 15, HALL15, to get 15% off at GibbsGrooming.com. Go get you some today.
Speaking of busting out of swamps, we have some MLB teams making a playoff appearance for the first time in what feels like ages.
For the longest time.
Okay.
I got the pipes, man.
It's your weekly karaoke segment. We have the Chicago White Sox, the Cincinnati Reds, the Miami Marlins, and the San Diego Padres making the playoffs in what feels like years, what feels like decades even, which might even be decades in some cases. I don't think the Marlins have been to the playoffs.
I think it was like 17. One of them was 17 years. I think
it was like 2003 when they won the World Series in Yankee Stadium or something like that. That was the last time they made the playoffs. Fun fact, they also have never lost a playoff series in franchise history. So do with that information as you will when you're placing your MLB playoff bets. Hoppa, looking at this playoff bracket, I know we gave our playoff predictions at the halfway point like 2 weeks ago. That's how short the season was at the trade deadline. And I said I liked Tampa. You said you liked San Diego and Chicago. The South Side Chicago team, I should say.
The good side.
I'm not a fan of either, but I mean, the other one did win the NL Central, home of your Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, but looking at this playoff bracket, are your midseason predictions still looking valid? What matchups do you like? What do you see in here?
All right. As the resident lecture hall baseball expert, the AL is going to be insane. We have the Rays. Rays get the one seed. They win the AL East. I'm the expert, and I said the NL East, and then I followed that with the Rays. Interesting. But no, we have the Rays at the one seed. They're probably going to power through the Blue Jays. It's going to be crazy because this is a three-game series to start this wild card round. So things could get absolutely weird. Because of the pitching, Shane Bieber, Gerrit Cole, I assume is what game one is going to look like. I could probably go look, seeing as I have the app.
That's confirmed.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. You're going to see motherfuckers striking out. They're not even going to know where the ball is, you know, half the time. I would bet in a conventional baseball game, nine innings, you're going to see 54 outs. I would bet that at least 35 of the outs in the game for the entire nine inning games are strikeouts. I would put money on that. That ball's not going to be in play much. Look, the Yankees kind of gave up what was supposed to be their season, 33-27 through the 60 games. I think the Rays, the Indians are going to move on. The Twins get the Astros. I think the Twins are the obvious choice. Somehow getting great pitching from guys who really aren't that good, from Maeda. Rich Hill was good. Berrios figured it out and has kind of been on the path that he was on. And the A's take on the White Sox. I think this is going to be the most intriguing matchup, as seeing as you have the A's who like fought through injuries through this last week in August until about a week ago. They have Marcus Semien back. But they lose a key player. I think it's Matty Chapps is out. They've been without him for the last like week or whatever. It's like 2 or 3 weeks now. But the A's, it might even be a month. Who knows? I don't even know where I am. I can't read, so it doesn't help. I can't read articles when people, you know, I can't read the things of why people are out. So, but I do think we see all the higher seeds move on. So that means we'd have Rays, Indians, Twins, A's. And from there, it's anybody's ball game. I think those guys are the horses. And I really think the Indians with the pitching they have a shot to beat Tampa. For whatever reason, Tampa is just like so good. And they don't really have like a big name guy.
They don't. They really don't. They have Glasnow, and they have, the guy that just won a Cy Young, Blake Snell. That's it. So I mean, they have two, low key big names, but that's and then Austin Meadows. But what else do they have? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't. This team is so confusing. Like G-Man Choi is like former Brewer. Like he's like been piss pounding the ball. I mean, yeah, Snell won a Cy Young. Really hasn't been himself this year. In this weird year. And then Glasnow was until the middle of September was rocking like a 4.5 ERA. So it's kind of weird, but they're like a wagon. Like it's just a team that I don't know that I would want to bet against, in all honesty. So, I think the Rays are still the pick there. I think it'll be Rays A's, just because the Indians run into the Rays there. That being said, I do see a path to see it like an Indians A's. I think the pitching is going to be big with Jose Ramirez getting really good. in this last week here. They have Frankie Lindor. Like, Cleveland has the pieces. They're 4 years removed from being the runner-up, and I think 2020 could be the year to, like, sneak them in there. It'll be really interesting to see. As far as the NL, we have the one seed Dodgers, Brewers, Padres, Cardinals, Cubs, Marlins, Braves, Reds. I think this one is going to get absolutely weird. And I've seen people picking the Marlins to beat the Cubs. I've seen people not taking the chalk here, taking the Reds over the Braves. I don't know what to do with this. I mean, in all honesty, with the way Brandon Woodruff just pitched in a three-game series, the Brewers don't have the pitching. That's not what I'm saying. I don't believe the Brewers will win the series, but if Woodruff has the same outing he had to finish out the season, that's a win. And that if that's the game one, Craig Counsell probably won't announce until he has to announce his probable. And I can guarantee you that's not tomorrow, which would be Wednesday or Tuesday. He'll probably announce Wednesday morning. But if that's one game, you have the bats in the lineup to somehow squeak out another. I just think it could get weird. Like I said, the Brewers don't have the pitching, but if they have a lead and you have whoever the second starter is going to be, no Burns, because that oblique was barking, no Burns. It'll be interesting to see that series. Padres Cardinals. I fully expect the Padres, even without Clevinger, probably take that one easy. Those bats, there's no messing with Slam Diego. Cubs Marlins. I mean, you chalk up the Cubs, but for whatever reason, the Marlins, like Sixto Sanchez, like he is dealing right now. I don't know if he's the probable first game pitcher, but I would not be like looking forward to seeing that. Yeah, neither team has announced their first. Braves Reds. Reds are coming hot. This is gonna get so weird. How do you feel?
Yeah, so staying in the NL, this reminds me of a classic March Madness bracket where you're so enticed to chalk things in, but you know you can't do it. If we're looking at a classic 4-12 upset here with Cincinnati and Atlanta, the Braves are just known playoff chokers, and in a three-game series, this Reds pitching staff is so deadly. But then again, Atlanta's lineup is also very filthy. But
possible MVP in Freddie Freeman.
Possible NL Cy Young in Trevor Bauer in Cincinnati. So things are going to get wild in that series. I actually like the Reds to advance. I am not very high on the Marlins. I'm also not very high on the Cubs. Cubs, also known chokers. The Marlins have never lost a playoff series. I still think it's hard to bet against the Cubs here. And then I think it's a sweep for Slam Diego, and I also think it's a sweep for the Dodgers when it comes to making their way to the World Series. It's really hard to bet against LA with that lineup. But if we're going to see a dark horse, I mean, the Padres, there's nothing shocking there. But also, if Atlanta can get past Cincinnati, I'd say Atlanta's also very deadly. When it comes to potential World Series chances going to the AL, I like what you said about Tampa just bulldozing through Toronto. I don't think there's anything to really speculate there. I think the Yankees are actually better than the Indians. I don't think the Indians' pitching staff is deep enough to get them
that could pass in the
second round. I also don't think the Yankees pitching staff is that good, but I think that there's enough pop in that lineup to smoke whoever is on the mound for Cleveland, not named Bieber.
Interesting.
But going back to that game one matchup, Bieber and Cole, people forget that Gerrit Cole lost 5 straight starts this season. So this might not be the superstar pitching duel that you're expecting. And this game one could very easily end 5-0 Indians when Cole is getting pulled in the 5th inning. So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for that. Twins Astros. The Astros stink, certified bad. The Twins also, though, they can't get out of the first round to save their lives, but Luckily for them, they wouldn't have to play their daddy as the New York Yankees until the ALCS. So is this the Twins' year? Maybe. I think they're good enough. I don't think the Astros are any good at all. I fully would expect the Twins to go to the second round. And then the White Sox are the most dangerous seven seed you're ever going to see in your life. I mean, they could have very easily been the two seed.
Yeah.
In the AL.
All they had to do is win a couple more games.
I honestly think the White Sox are chalked, written Sharpie for the ALCS. And then it's really going to come down to Tampa, New York, and Cleveland, where I'd think I'd give New York the edge over Cleveland. And then I still think it's the year of the Devil Ray. I mean, the Chinese don't lie. Year of the Devil Ray, seeing Tampa in the World Series for the first time since 2008, I believe, when they played the Phillies. And, I mean, it's too hard for me to bet against the Dodgers coming out of the NL.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's nothing really out of the usual, a little one seed versus one seed, but I just think those two are easily the best teams.
Absolutely. I think if you're going to look at if you're looking at betting, I've had money on the Indians since like late or mid August, and I put a bet on the A's in the same regard. I think you're wrong. The Indians do have the pitching. If there's one team that has the pitching, maybe not in a seven-game set, but at least to get through these first couple, it's them. They develop pitching like nobody's business. But if you're looking for the, you know, like the best plays, I think you're right. The most dangerous seven seed in the White Sox with Giolito, they probably have just enough pitching. That bullpen is a little suspect, but that's probably a good play. The Padres, I would put the money there, and then the Reds as well. Those are probably the three plays in the betting portion that you're probably going to get the most bang for your buck. I would maybe look at the Indians as well in that money, but I would say the White Sox, the Padres, and the Reds are probably the three to get your most money's worth. I mean, it's really hard to say the Rays or the Dodgers don't come out of this. If you're me, I do think that's probably the final, and I think this is probably the Dodgers' year. But
I think there's a very good chance that it's the Dodgers' year. It's very hard to lose three out of four World Series. It's really hard to do. If they manage to pull that off, they might be the Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Clayton Kershaw is the Jim Kelly of baseball.
That's tough. That'd be a tough look.
Tough comparison, but hey, if that's what it comes down to, that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
And both teams are just absolute wagons.
All right. Speaking of wagons
and other big vessels that you can hop on, friend of the program, our boy, Sir Yacht, on 2 weeks ago to talk about the potential return of the Big Ten that he'd been reporting for weeks.
Yeah.
2 days after he was on, the Big Ten announced that they are coming back. I know. It's been a while. Hop was gone last week. We couldn't talk about it. What can we do? The Big Ten is back. The Pac-12 is back. The Mountain West is back. And last but not least, the Mac is back. The Mac is also only playing weekday games for the first month of the season. So we're having Mac-tion every weekday for a month.
Jizz.
Let that settle.
What a time to be alive. Who would have thought?
Time to be alive. Who would have thought? Hoppe, what are you most excited about with the return of all FBS conferences?
The Big Ten. Obviously.
And why is that?
I mean, obviously, it's the best football of that returning. That should be like the pretty clear. Nobody cares about the Pac-12 anymore. It seems like anybody.
She's got a lot of fans out in Tempe.
Oh, yeah? He sure does. What a guy. No, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of football being played. And truthfully, from what we've seen so far, I mean, besides the powerhouses playing as they pretty much should, the football games are just like weird. I don't know. It's like kind of sloppy. My boys, App State, dropped one to Marshall, one they shouldn't have dropped. It's a weird year, man. I don't know. With no fans and then some people having fans. We have the Texas-Oklahoma Red River rivalry. Didn't fuck that one up, thank goodness. But I don't know. I think I'm excited for the Big Ten. I just want to see if, like, because this year has felt like as we got deeper into the baseball season and through these first couple weeks of the NFL, besides the no fans, everything has felt normal between those two. Mm-hmm. But for, like, whatever reason, on a Saturday, it just doesn't feel real. And I don't know if that's because there's no, like, obviously now everybody's going to be back. And before there wasn't, there was only, what, like four conferences or three conferences playing. So I don't know. It just doesn't feel real yet. It's weird. But I'm excited for the Big Ten to play, especially all conference games.
Yeah, there was nothing really – like waking up on a Saturday morning, there was nothing to really make you want to get out of bed. Like you get up –
like I forgot.
You get up and game day's on, but there's no excitement because the Badgers aren't playing, because Purdue's not playing. There's nothing driving you to the TV. You just kind of glance at the ESPN app to see where the scores are. Maybe you have a couple bets you're checking, Bovada or whatever responsible resource you use.
Love it.
The Big Ten is back, and with the Big Ten being back, two of probably the top five best receivers in the country play in the Big Ten, and both of them opted out originally and have opted back, and being Minnesota's Rashad Bateman and Purdue's Rondell Moore. Huge news if you're just a Big Ten fan. Big Ten football is better with those two guys on the field. So watch out. Row the boat. Boiler up. Let's play football. Lots of excitement coming out of Minnesota and Purdue this week.
There's going to be a point where I have to unfollow you on Twitter because I'm so sick of seeing the things that you like and it just being like, Rondale Moore has this many career touches and this many are first downs. Give him the old Gluck Gluck 9000. It's just ridiculous. I'm getting sick of it. I hate seeing it. It's just really getting on my nerves. I don't care. I fuck Rondale Moore. I get he's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's bad, Rondale. If you want to come on the show, we can talk. But, like, I just don't – like, it's just – shut up. It's all your fault. It's your – it's like your timeline is invading mine, and it's not okay. This is America. I should be free to see whatever content I want to see.
I'm just going to say that with the talent Purdue has in that wide receiver room, they could have – a Walmart brand Kansas City Chiefs offense this season. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, you have to have a good quarterback first. Who is even the quarterback?
They have five of them, so take your pick.
All right, yeah. Interesting. That'll be fun. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just sick of seeing Rondale Moore this or David Bell that. It's just so annoying.
Oh, you'll be seeing it all season long.
But I would like you to elaborate on the thing that you said to me the other day about my Badgers. Would you like to
Yeah, so there's a certain college football podcast that I listen to, and they — I don't remember why they were talking about Wisconsin, but they started talking about Wisconsin.
You can't stop.
Here we go. They were talking about quarterback — they were talking about different quarterbacks across, I don't know, the NCAA. Quarterbacks that pretty much just mediocre quarterbacks and the ones that might take a next step and ones who might not. And they brought up, what's his name, Jack Cohen.
Yeah, you bet your ass it's Jack Cohen.
And the way they were talking about Wisconsin, I don't know why, but I was drinking the Wisconsin Kool-Aid, and if whoever is their running back replacing JT is half as good as JT and Cohen takes a step up, Wisconsin could arguably win a national championship. I'm drinking the Badger Kool-Aid.
I love it. If you want
to talk about timelines crossing over, he's over here getting sick about how good of receivers Purdue have. I'm over here just chugging Wisconsin Kool-Aid by the gallon.
I love it. Cohn last year, 69.6% completion percentage, 2,700 yards, 18 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. There's not much you can do better than that. Obviously, Wisconsin's never going to throw the ball to make a quarterback that worth it in the end. But I just wanted to hear you say it more than anything, if I'm being totally honest. Now we can move on to the next step where my boy JT is after another nice week, if you like. But unless you have any final thoughts, it's totally up to you.
Yeah, just watch out for the Purdue Chiefs this season. That's all I'm going to say there.
Speaking
of the Chiefs, they're playing right now. They're playing the Ravens.
They're like a fiddle. They're piss-pounding these guys right now.
They're like a fiddle. They're piss-pounding.
No, playing them like a fiddle. I was playing off of you.
I'm going to get into that game in a second. Hoppa, who's your week three biggest winner?
My NFL's week three biggest winner is Russell Wilson. Another Badger. But Russell Wilson at home. We talked about how good this game could be, especially with no fans. And the guy comes out 27 for 40, 315, 5 scores, 3 to Lockett in the first half. He's just so good, man. He's just 6 carries for 22 yards on top of it. You know, there's just a point where he's just better than everybody.
Three biggest winner is the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's not because they won, because they didn't, but they didn't lose. Shout out Philly. Congrats, Eagles fans. You did not lose this week. Celebrate the tie. Celebrate it responsibly, but celebrate your tie. It might be the closest thing you get to a win this season. We were talking last week with Cody and Pat and Liam about if they were to lose this game, the potential of a fire sale in Philly. And, I mean, you might have just saved yourself another game of Zach Ertz by tying. If you lose that game, Ertz could have been out of town the next day, headed to New England.
I would have just left if I was him. If you lose that, I would have actually, since they punted, I definitely would have lost. I would have just left.
Can we talk about that? Instead Absolutely. Of going for the win, they just punt and said, we'll take the tie.
Like, what are you?
How little faith do you have to have in yourself and in your team if you are Doug Peterson? The only thing I can think of is he was pumped for that ice cream in the lobby.
I just don't get it. Like, the dude is, like, a good coach. We even said this in our NFC East preview. Like, he's a good coach. He doesn't get enough credit. He's won a Super Bowl. Like, he's a good coach. But then he goes and does this stuff, and it's like, yeah, you're such a stooge.
Well, yeah, one might say it was a stooge boots, but you have to respect it when he's just like, no. Like, we're taking the tie.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was GMing my fantasy team as if I was Doug Peterson this afternoon. Here's a little backstory. I was up 16 in a money league, and he had Harrison Butker kicking for the Chiefs tonight, and I had the Baltimore defense. And my thought was that this game was going to be a shootout with the Chiefs dominating, and that Baltimore would probably go negative. And Butker was probably going to score a lot. And my thought was if they went negative, Butker wouldn't have to go off as much and I would lose because of it. So if I benched their defense, I could just take my cushion and make Butker beat me. Kind of a Doug Peterson-esque move, if you ask me. Like, not playing for the win, just playing for the tie.
I'm glad you didn't. Because yes, as
I
should we
say that I did play the defense and they are scaring me right now, but Butker sucks, so I've got that going.
Hey, Butker has been very bad. You're up 20 points as they just got to the fourth quarter, so Butker would have to really do something now, or Baltimore would really have to screw up now at this point to lose you the game. But yeah, speaking of losing, who's your biggest loser?
My biggest loser this week. Oof. Honestly, it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Because they tied. They won and they lost.
They were my biggest winner because they didn't lose, but they're also my biggest loser because they didn't win. what is going on in Philly right now? They're an absolute dumpster fire. They're getting booed by robotic, pumped-in fans. Carson Wentz looks disgustingly horrible.
Yeah.
He looks nothing like the Carson Wentz that was a borderline MVP candidate. He's honestly, he's taken the Derek Carr approach. He had 1 year where he was a borderline MVP candidate, and then he's been riddled with injuries, and when he's been healthy and on the field, he's just lackluster. It's like, what are they doing? And they're not building around him. They refuse to bring him receivers, and they drafted the guy out of TCU.
Yeah, Rager, who's been hurt. Yeah,
Jalen Rager, not playing, and they have Zach Ertz, and they got rid of Nelson Aguilar, who I am a huge fan of for no reason whatsoever. He's in Oakland now. What are they doing in Philly? What are they doing? They have no one on defense.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Greg Ward, former collegiate quarterback, probably could have been drafted as such, was the leading receiver. 8 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. Zach Ertz, 7 catches for 70 yards. And then after that, you have Hightower, don't know who that is, 2 catches for 19. Burnett, 3 catches for 19. Don't know who that is. R. Rodgers, is that former Packer Richard Rodgers? That's exactly who that is. Former Packer Richard Rodgers, 2 catches for 15 yards. Miles Sanders, the running back, 4 catches for a measly 12 yards. DeSean Jackson, 2 receptions for 11 yards. Goddard had 1 catch for 7 yards. Like, this seems like I'm honestly, maybe get me a plane ticket to Philly. I got a big enough belly. Tight end might be in my future.
I don't think they need any help at tight end, Hoppa. I think you need to drop 40 pounds and line up in the slot.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, 5'9". That's, or I could just be the next Darren Sproles if I drop at least 40.
Honestly, you and I off the street have to be better at what they're rolling with now in Philly.
Honestly.
Philly.
Part of me is very serious about this also. Like, give me, like, 2 weeks to learn the playbook and train a little bit. I'm like, I might give Greg Ward a run for his money.
Low-key, we could be seeing Trevor Lawrence in Philly next season.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. Vikings fans also.
Jets seem fans. Like gonna... Giants fans.
Falcons fans. But they're my biggest losers.
Broncos fans, unless Locke can come
easy,
back.
Easy. All right, take it easy there. That was not cool. I will not hear anything. I refuse to listen to anything suggesting that Drew Locke might lose his job. That's not what kind of podcast we are.
You could say he is locked into that position.
You could say that if you wanted to.
Hoppa, week 3, biggest loser. Who you got?
Quickly, my biggest loser, the Atlanta Falcons. 0-3, 2 straight heartbreaking wins, could easily be 2-1. This team has no Julio Jones, and they were dominating the whole game. Calvin Ridley looks like God out there. But I don't know. I don't know what, like, I don't know how to help them. They're a good team. Gurley looked good. Everybody looked, like, the whole team looked good, and then Nick Foles comes in and just shreds their defense and brings them back. That being said, that'll be an interesting team to look at going forward. The Falcons, Matt Ryan is great. He is putting up he is one of the best stat quarterbacks as we're like that. I don't think we understand is here right now when we have people of the likes of Mahomes and stuff. Just weird. I don't know what to think, but they are definitely the biggest loser.
Yeah. What, like, I really don't know what to do with Atlanta, because just like we talked about in our NFC South preview, that roster has so much talent, especially on offense.
Yeah.
That you'd think that they would be borderline undefeated, 12-4 is the floor in a Super Bowl contender. And they continue to find ways to lose that you just don't think are possible. And I mean, it just has terrible. To come down to who's their coach, Dan Quinn. It has to come down to just poor, poor coaching. Like, is firing Quinn the solution? Who's going to replace him?
Yeah, I don't know that there's like a good answer for that, because then when you fire a coach, people forget Adam Gase got a second job. So like, if you fire Dan Quinn, you really better have a good idea for who your coach is going to be.
Yeah, and like, if you end up in this position where you're in the Trevor Lawrence race, when you have a guy like Matt Ryan who you're not going to bench for Trevor Lawrence, do you have to take the flyer on Lawrence and you just have to hope he's okay with sitting and developing under Matty Ice, or do you then have to trade Matt Ryan out? Atlanta's a dumpster fire, especially if they do end up in the position for that number one pick.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. They're going to get absolutely – I'm terrified because the Packers' secondary sucks, and I won't believe in them no matter how many weeks in a row I see Jaire Alexander graded as one of the best cornerbacks every weekend through the season. But I don't know what to do with this team. It's just like – they're so bad. I can't imagine. There's too much money tied into Matt Ryan to probably get rid of him. But I think, how do you just lose in such stupid ways with such good talent? It's just so dumb to me.
Yeah, their offense should be, if not the best, they should be a top three offense in the NFL. Every year. Absolutely. Every year with Matt Ryan and Julio, and you have Calvin Ridley playing the way he is, and you add freaking Todd Gurley into the mix. And before Gurley, they had Devonta Freeman. Before Freeman tore his ACL or whatever he did.
I think they just got rid of him.
If you're a Falcons fan, I am sorry. I am so sorry. As a Purdue fan, I know heartbreak in the worst forms. And I can't imagine being a Falcons fan.
Yeah, me either.
Hop up, week three, biggest takeaway.
My biggest takeaway from week three is I think that this early in the season, it's a tough thing to say, but I think the NFL is as top heavy as we've ever seen. I don't know if it's just the weird season or what. Like I said before, I don't know if it's maybe like the no fans in the stands, like the preseason just isn't enough. Or not having any preseason isn't enough, but like, you're looking at teams. I'm not going to include the Bears, but like the Chiefs, Ravens are now duking it out. Like, it's late. The Chiefs have manhandled at this point, but the Ravens are now back in it. The Rams and the Bills looked really good. Bills got up like 28-3, and then the Rams came back, and the Bills ended up finishing that one off. The Titans came back against the Vikings. They're now 3-0. They look great. Patriots looked good against Las Vegas. I was hoping Vegas would give them a better game. I don't know, man. It just feels like some of these teams are just really bad and these other teams are just really fucking good.
Yeah, that was
– I'm also terrified of these 49ers. Absolutely terrified. I know it's the Giants, and I know that like that line is still healthy, even not having Garoppolo, Mostert, and I know they're not going to have Bosa. But winning 36-9 and never that game being in a doubt when that betting line is -3 and you cover by almost 30 points, that's a scary team.
They're missing a whole lot more than Jimmy G, Mostert, and Bosa.
Yeah.
They're missing a lot. Other than Denver's the only other team that's more decimated than San Francisco right now.
Yeah, did you see the stat? It was of the money that is
missing. Like $53 million is on the IR for the Broncos, with the second closest being the Niners at like 20 mil.
Yeah, it was – that is like such an absurd stat, and I don't know, like obviously I'm assuming you add it all together from the people that are missing, but what a terrible – like what a weird situation. 49ers are terrifying. I really see the best teams right now as like the clear, like there's a clear like top four between like the Chiefs, or top five, I feel like, where it's the Chiefs, Baltimore, Seattle, the Packers, and the 49ers.
Indianapolis
as a stray in the sixth spot.
Yeah, I'm kind of going in the same direction on this. Biggest takeaway is that I might be overreacting, but it's overreaction Monday. We're only 3 weeks in. But come playoff time, with an expanded playoff, we're going to see some disgusting football in those first
there's
round
gonna
playoff
be like,
matchups.
There's going to be some crazy games.
Yeah, it's going to be like the equivalent of the Reds making the playoffs in the MLB, a team who's barely over 500 or just under 500, or the Marlins who are like under 500. We're going to see some bad, bad football. And I'm kind of here for it. We talked last week how I'm a simp for mediocre quarterback play, so feed it to me. But we're going to see some disgusting football come playoff time.
I love it, yeah. And they were missing Kittle. I knew there was another name.
They're missing someone else on the D-line, too.
D. Ford.
Anyways.
Yeah.
With 2 minutes, 15 seconds left in the third, Bucky's Tampa Bay Lightning are up 2-0 over Dallas, looking like they're about to lock up their second Stanley Cup in franchise history.
My Tampa Bay Lightning.
Shut up. And on Monday Night Football, the Chiefs are only up 7 on Baltimore. Baltimore's come back to a 27-20 game. And, yeah, they're in the red zone. Mahomes is scrambling, and he's throwing on the run, sidearm pass, and it's a completion for a almost touchdown.
Wow, that's pretty good play-by-play.
Baltimore defense, hang tight for me. Hang tight. Harrison Butker, continue to suck. We share a
Harrison,
name,
namesake.
Please. Yeah.
What?
For the name. Baltimore defense is at 3 points.
Hey. It's better than negative points. What'd I tell you?
Yeah, I think I've got this locked up. I got an 18-point lead.
Yeah.
151 left in the third. Tampa's really going to do this. I'm so upset.
Shout out. I just want to shout out Jared Karabas. Someone asked him to make a postseason bracket on which fan bases he likes the most. And it was the oh, fuck yeah. Let's go, Jared. So – the ALCS is the Blue Jays, White Sox, and the NLCS is the Brewers, Braves, and then he has the Brewers and Toronto in the World Series, and he has the Brooklyn as the best fan base. So,
that's all right. Before the bell rings, you weren't here last week, so I need to let you speak on this. U.S. Open, my boy. Pretty much friend of the program, Bryson DeChambeau, won the U.S. Open, Hoppa. What were your takes on Bryson?
I mean, this guy is something else. He's here to stay. He just bombs the ball, man. If he continues, like, if he can putt on these greens and can continue to do that, there's – I mean, he could have such an illustrious career. He's young yet. We've never seen a golfer get quite to this size. Him and like that, and Brooks are like the same size. You know, people say somewhat like built-like linebackers in the way that they look. And so we've never seen really golfers built like that. I mean, I don't know if you guys, if anybody saw any highlights from that Tiger's public course opening, but like you look at Gary Player, and granted he's like 85 years old, but he's like this tiny skinny little stick, and so it's like it's, and like even Jack Nicklaus looks like he wasn't that big, like he was skinny back in the day, kind of like lanky and awkward. Like, we just don't know how long this is going to play on the course. And I mean, we've seen the only other basis we have is Tiger. I mean, the guy is like a military train, like trains him like as a Navy SEAL or in the Marines, one of the two, you would know, but trains like that. And so we've seen his knees go, his back go, at when he's been the longest hitter, and that's kind of where Bryson is. And Tiger never really put on the weight like Bryson did so quickly. So I obviously love Bryson. He's freaking awesome. But it'll be interesting here to see the sustainability. Because golf, I mean, like we saw, Phil Mickelson is 40, what, 46?
He's 50.
Oh, yeah, he's 50. Yeah, he's 50 years old, went on the senior tour for a week, absolutely pummeled guys. And he's a health nut, and like, but he's not, you know, obviously he's not like fit. Like, there was like 2 years ago, there's a picture of him where he looked like me with a belly hanging out. Like, and the guy still plays like really good golf. So, golf is just one of those weird sports where you can have a weird body type and be successful. So I'm interested to see as it relates to his body and how his body changes over the next 10 to 15 years playing in the game. But for right now, Bryson is like, should be basically the favorite for any tournament he plays in. Yeah, I love golf right now. Like, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but like you get Bryson playing this well. Once, if Brooks can come back and be healthy for more than like 3 weeks at a time, I know. Stop. I'm just saying it's Brooks because he's good. Like DJ playing well. If we can get Tiger into some of these tournaments, I mean, golf just doesn't get much better than that right now.
You know, before I comment, it just went final. You have won your futures bet on Tampa.
Let's go.
And back to Bryson. Yeah, I'm just really excited to see the journey that him and I continue to go on and the success that him and I will both mutually have. And I really can't wait to watch him hit it 400 yards at Augusta. Of course, it's not made for someone that can hit it his length. He's going to have flip wedges into every hole. It's going to be insane, and he might break the course record.
He's probably just going to hit gap wedge off the tee. He's just going to take it off the deck every time, bomb it out there.
This wedge, what is wedge.
That? Yeah, what is that? Is that 10? Is it 10 or 11 that has the slope to the left on the back nine?
I think it. Oh,
I think it's 11 because that's the start of Amen Corner, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's either 10 or 11. I know that, but he's gonna hit a gap wedge. He's gonna get it to roll down, and then another wedge in, birdie putt.
Yeah, Bryson at Augusta. What are we looking at? Like a month and a half away from the Masters. It's going to be insane, and I cannot wait for our Masters preview and Masters breakdown episode. But
it's only about a little over a month away.
Yeah, we're not far. I've had the CBS Masters theme song as my alarm for the last 2 years, so I've been ready for this Masters. But we have went on too long. The bell has rung. Hoppa, closing thoughts.
Hey, I'm just glad to be back. Hopefully, we'll continue with Lecture Hall. Thank you to everybody who listens, especially because we like have such like a weird little following. And so I appreciate everybody who listens on a daily basis or on a weekly basis or whatever, because we have like this little, like we have like listeners now, people who listen to us every week. So it's cool to see those numbers. And I really appreciate like the stuff and the feedback that I get from everybody. So thank you. It's a little thank you, a little sentiment.
Yep, shout out our loyal listeners in Mama Hopwood, Jenna, Allie, and Paige. But we've went on too long. Class is dismissed. Rondell Moore is good.